Let's thank the band for leading us this afternoon in worship. Good to see you guys. So if I've not met you before, my name is Dave, and I serve as the high school pastor here on staff at TBC. So it's good to have you guys this afternoon. We just want to thank you guys for carving out time on a Saturday afternoon. We know you guys are crazy busy. We did let you sleep in, though, until around noon, so you got that part done. But thank you guys for being here and making it a priority to be here this weekend. So our hope for this weekend is to really be a weekend in God's Word and also just really be part of community. And so if you're someone that is not yet a Christ follower, there's not really a secret as to why we're doing this weekend. Our hope is that if you don't know Christ yet, this might be the weekend where you come to know Christ and start a relationship with Him. And if you do know Christ, but you're not yet part of a church, our hope is that you might start coming and belonging to the body here, body of Christ here at TBC. We'd love to have you join us on other Wednesdays and Sundays as well. And so just wanted to let you know that's our invitation to you. If you don't have a place that you worship frequently, then you're welcome to come here anytime you would like to come here. So our speaker this weekend is a guy named Sean Chandler, and he is coming to us from all the way from Hutto. Who knows where Hutto is? Raise your hand. Anybody know what the mascot is at the high school? Everyone seems to know that, the Hutto Hippos. So that's an interesting mascot. Because hippos are fierce. They may not seem like it, but they truly are fierce animals. So they can kill things. But he comes to us from Hutto Bible Church, and he works with students there at that church as a volunteer. Used to be a youth pastor in that area as well, so I'm sure he'll tell you more about his story, and you'll hear more about that as he talks to us from Ecclesiastes. So if you have your Bibles, or even if you don't have your Bibles, pull out your app, I guess, on your phones. Be ready to go to Ecclesiastes, where we'll be this weekend. And then after he speaks to us, we'll give some instructions as to where you guys will do your breakout discussions. So, Sean, go ahead and come up here to the stage, and let's welcome Sean to the stage this afternoon.
Well, good afternoon. Like you said, my name is Sean Chandler, and I am coming from Hutto, Texas. My wife and two daughters are right here in the back of the room in that corner. I also have a son, and we got a picture of my family up here, but my son, I was hoping he could be here, but he had like a birthday party type thing that he had to be at this weekend. But yeah, I've been working with teenagers in a church setting for over 20 years now. Any of you that were at your Impact Camp this past summer, Trey Dove spoke at it. Trey Dove was one of my former students. He interned for me, and in fact, when I stopped being the youth pastor at the church I was a youth pastor at, he was the person that kind of took my place. So our church has many connections to your church. I actually spoke here 7 or 8 years ago, so I'm very excited to be back here speaking with you. And as he mentioned, currently my day job is that I'm a full-time YouTuber, which just kind of happened where I started talking about movies on the internet, got lucky, and it took off. And so now that's what I do full-time. And through that, I'm a member of just critics associations, things like that. And so earlier this year, I got to go to the Critics' Choice Awards, which is a nationally televised awards show. At the table we were at, right next to us, was the table with the actress who played Lois Lane in the new Superman movie. And for the people over 30 years old, also at that table was Orlando Bloom from Lord of the Rings, as well as Pirates of the Caribbean, as well as Sarah Michelle Gellar, who was Buffy the Vampire Slayer back in the 90s. And we're just sitting at our table like, that's Legolas, that's Lois Lane, they're right there. And then because it was an awards show, and Wicked was nominated for pretty much every single award there was, in the room was the whole cast of Wicked. So during one of the commercial breaks, my wife and I tried to make our way, kind of walking through the tables, up to Ariana Grande to try and say hello. And we're this far away from Ariana Grande, and she's talking to someone else, and they're like crying. So we thought, this probably isn't the best moment to like interject in, like, excuse me, can we get a selfie? But we did walk up this close, see her crying in person, and go, all right, that's enough. That's a fun story that we can tell to people in Central Texas. I turn around to leave. I bump into someone and start walking off. I turn around. And the person I bumped into was Jeff Goldblum, which everyone, once again, over 30 knows who that is. For those of you that are younger, he was Oz in Wicked. And we walked back to our table, and I could actually just keep name-dropping because it was like this crazy day where it's like, I can't believe we're in a room with this many famous people eating dinner. Like, this is wild. This is crazy. So I feel incredibly blessed that I get to have cool experiences like that. But more so, I feel blessed that I get to speak here with you this weekend, partially because I'm just thankful that I'm alive. Last night, I went to dinner with Dave and his family, and while we were talking, you could see like storms rolling in, and there were a couple of times where I was like, whoa, because I saw like lightning, and he looked at me like I was crazy because he didn't know that I just saw this incredible lightning flash in the distance. As we leave, it starts pouring rain. And so just running to our car, we're all soaked. We discovered that my 7-year-old daughter's afraid of pouring rain. And we're driving back in this city that we don't know where we're going. And our windshield wiper like flies off of our car. And I thought it was starting to hail. And I thought that's how we were going to die and get in a car accident. No, it's because we lost our windshield wiper. So we just had no idea where we were driving. So if you found a windshield wiper in your front yard this morning, we'd like it back. Now, or if you saw tire tracks throughout your front yard, your backyard, your fence was knocked over by a strange car, that has nothing to do with the story that I just told you. But while we were at dinner with Dave last night, he asked me if we've ever just kind of come here to Temple or do we just pass through? The answer is, generally speaking, I only pass through Temple because I live in the Austin area, go to Dallas several times per year, and that's normally I just kind of pass through. The first time ever that I passed through Temple was back in the year 2000. A friend of mine was in college, drove past through, visited my friend in Temple, in Dallas, that's where the college is at, and we hung out for the weekend, and then after midnight on Sunday night, left to drive home, and had to be to work at 6 in the morning. So I was going to get no sleep anyway, but leaving after midnight from Dallas to go to Austin, about a 3-hour drive. And this is before GPS, cell phones, anything like that. So you either needed a map or you needed directions. Luckily, the directions from Dallas to Austin are very simple. Take I-35. It's that simple, and you'll pass through Temple along the way. So I leave the college with my friend, hop on I-35, start driving. I'm listening, you know, my favorite band of the time, Weezer, listening to the Blue Album, shouting the Sweater song at the top of my lungs like crazy, driving down I-35, see the sign, says Oklahoma City, 120 miles, like awesome, put on Pinkerton, keep driving, listen to that album, Oklahoma City, 90 miles, I'm like awesome, I'm on my way to Oklahoma City, Texas, this is great. Now some of you might be thinking, you know, actually, Oklahoma City is not in Texas. Oklahoma City is in Oklahoma. See, you're all smarter than I was when I was your age. It was pretty dumb, obviously. So I keep driving, and I had a realization because I saw a sign that said, Oklahoma State Line. And I went, I'm not very good at geography, but I do know that Oklahoma the state is not in Texas, the state. It's like, oh, wow, I've been going the wrong direction this entire time. I pull over, call my mom, because once again, this is before cell phones, find a gas station, call my mom, and I go, how do I get back? She goes, well, are you on I-35? Yeah. Well, you went the wrong direction. Just go the other way. Oh. So turn around, drive back the correct direction on I-35 and get home in time to take a 3-minute nap before going to work at 6 a.m. and ended up had a very stressful night, but gaining an amazing sermon illustration for the last 25 years. Well, why do I say this? I went the wrong direction and it made for a really bad day. But it was just one bad day. It's possible to go the wrong direction with your entire life. It's possible to dedicate your life to something that will not satisfy. And this weekend is all about helping you go in the right direction. There's two ways that you can go, and this is what we're going to be diving into this entire weekend. You can live for under the sun, or you can live for the eternal. There's two paths. We're going to define both of those as we go throughout all of this, but we want you to go in the right direction. The longer you go in the wrong direction, the harder and more painful it is to go back the other way. If the first time I saw a sign that said Oklahoma City, I went, oh, I'm going the wrong way. I'd better turn around. I would have saved myself hours of time, but I kept going and ignoring the warning signs. This weekend, for some of you, is intended as one of those warning signs that you're going in the wrong direction, living under the sun, instead of for the eternal. And one of these is frustrating and meaningless, and one of them can end in satisfaction and joy. So we're going to kick things off. The first one on here, we're going to be in Ecclesiastes 1, and this is living under the sun. Living under the sun. It says, Ecclesiastes 1, the word of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem, and he's the one that's writing. This is very likely Solomon who is writing all of this. This is the son of David. He's the king. He's wise. He's the man who ever lived. The wisest man that ever lived and powerful. He has all the wealth, everything that you could want. He has everything. And so he's basically going to give his evaluation of the world, which is to say, when we live for God, I think that one will go on this side. When we live without God, when we live in this world without God, that's what he's about to tell us what it means. His evaluation, if you live just for this world, the things of this world, without God, where will it take you? And he says this in verse 2. Meaningless. Meaningless, says the teacher. The guy that can have everything that he wants, anyone that he wants, achieve anything that he wants, and he looks at everything and he goes, it's meaningless. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Whew, that's a real upbeat talk. Kicking off real positive here. Everything is meaningless. And then verse 14, he said, or verse 3 goes, what do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? And then in verse 14, he says, I have seen all things that are under the sun. All of them are meaningless, chasing after the wind. There's two directions you can go with your life. The eternal, for God, and for the world. And living for just the satisfaction, the experiences, the things of this world, and making that your priority. To kind of unpack these phrases, we say under the sun, and that phrase is repeated 29 times in Ecclesiastes, we're talking about the things of this world. When you live as if there is no God, and these are an end in and of themselves. I am living for stuff. All I want is more stuff. All I want is more money. All I want is more compliments. All I want is more followers. When we live for this world, that's what we mean by under the sun. Money, fame, success, achievements, relationships. Living for this world. And he says it's meaningless. And that word meaningless is used 38 times in Ecclesiastes. He just keeps going back to all the things under the sun are meaningless. And the Hebrew word is hevel, and it's a tough word to translate directly. It has this idea of kind of like your breath, this emptiness that just kind of happens. You think when it's cold outside and you breathe, and for just a moment you can see your breath. It's there for a moment and then it's gone. So you see it, oh, it's there, it's gone, it faded away. That's kind of the image that he says, like all of this stuff in this world, it's cool that you got a compliment. But are you satisfied? When you win the big game, when you get the not just a victory royale, but you get the crown royale in Fortnite, are you satisfied? Are you done? No, you go, I got to play again. Can I get another one? Can I keep it up? It never satisfies. It's there. It's awesome. And then it's gone. It's like a hamster wheel. No matter how fast the hamster goes, it doesn't get anywhere. Doesn't matter how long it goes. Doesn't get anywhere. This is what Solomon says. The things of this world, when you live like there is no God, it's meaningless. You don't get anything. You don't go anywhere. There's no purpose to it. You always want more. You always need more. And when I say all of this, the point isn't that you can't have fun. In the hallways, I was talking to Cannon about Ninja Turtles. And his favorite is Leonardo because he's the leader and he's blue. Awesome. I got blue eyes. I love blue too. I've always been a Raphael kind of guy because he's got attitude. So he's my favorite. We got a Michelangelo over here. He's the party dude. Totally, I love it. It's fine to have fun and enjoy things. It's fine to play sports. Last night at dinner, Sienna over here, we were talking about Andor and how we really enjoyed Andor. Ahsoka, the Star Wars show, kind of disappointed us a little bit. It's great to have things that we enjoy. But are we building our life on the things of this world? Are they where we're seeking our satisfaction? Not just, you know, fun, some entertainment, that's fine. But are you building your life around it? Like, you can't stop playing video games. Your life is built around sports, grades, your worth. That's your foundation. Like we sung about building a firm foundation. If your firm foundation is the things of this world, it's chasing the wind. If you're trying to chase the wind, middle schoolers, this is your challenge. Try and catch the wind this afternoon and have your leaders film you while you try and do it, because you'll look very silly and we'd love to see it. It doesn't do anything. You can't chase the wind. You can't catch the wind. And you can't be satisfied by pursuing the things of this world. But, like we said, there's another way that you can live. And that's for the eternal. So we're going to be in 1 Chronicles 28, and this is a passage where King David is at the end of his life, and basically he's giving a charge to his son Solomon, who we were just talking about, the person that wrote Ecclesiastes, that did this kind of test that said everything's meaningless. David is giving a charge to Solomon for how he should live, and it's going to give us a different way that you can live your life. And it says this in 1 Chronicles 28, David to Solomon. And you, Solomon, my son, know God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. You can give your heart, your time, your energy to things under the sun, or you can give your heart, your time, your energy to God, to the eternal. What are you giving your heart to? If you go in the direction of this world, you will be so frustrated. But if you go in the direction of God, that's where satisfaction is found. And when I mean like wholehearted devotion, sometimes you need the silliest examples to illustrate what this means by this. This is one of these early internet viral videos. I want to show this to you. This is a guy, his wholehearted devotion, well, it's not to God, it's to something else. If we can play this video real quick.
And I've got a crazy Georgia fan.
Yeah, this is the Dogs! It's the Sanford, baby! This is how we do it for the Dogs! Go, Georgia!
Woo! Wait, why are you white?
We're getting the red and black going right now. White base coat.
White is the
white
first step.
Base coat. We get a red and then we get a black going. And that's the Dogs. The red and the black. Yeah. It really shines when the white is on the base. And it pops. It pops like Red and Curran on a tackle. I'm excited because we're going to see Coach Rick and the Dogs come out here. They're going to rip Spurriers. Yeah. They're going to rip Spurriers. Yeah. His visor. His visor's going to come straight off.
Wait, what's the visor for people that don't know?
Spurrier! You think visors are cool?
I'm really excited to see that visor just fly off. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Awesome.
Go Dogs.
The best part, go Dogs, just right there at the end. So, very silly video, But what it shows you is exactly what he has unrestrained devotion to. You know exactly what he loves, the Georgia Bulldogs. So much so that he will put on the white base coat and go on national television screaming like a lunatic about a visor, his visor's cut, like he'll scream like a crazy person because he has no shame when it comes to his love for the Georgia Bulldogs. And it's just like a glimpse of what it looks like to just be so passionate about something. It's a silly version of it, but it just paints a picture of unrestrained devotion. And you go, what does your devotion to God look like? Like, how extreme would you go with your devotion to God? This passage kind of starts to enlighten us. It gives us some words to describe what that a wholehearted devotion to God looks like. And it says, know the God. That word know in the Hebrew is the idea of like to know intimately, deeply, experientially. And you go, if you've never ridden on a plane before, you can know intellectually what it would be like to be in a plane and you have to buckle your seatbelt. But that's not the same thing as experiencing it. The first time you're in a plane and it takes off and you're like, whoa, that's weird. The first time you look out the window and you're like, I'm 10,000 feet in the air in a tube. This is crazy. Experiencing it is not the same thing as knowing about it. And when we say we want you to experience God, that's what we mean. Not just knowing things about God, but this whole weekend is about connecting with God, with the eternal. That through worship, through teaching, through your discussion groups, through the community, through mentors, through everything that we do is that you would connect and you would experience God on a deeper level. And once again, we kind of ask, do you experience God on a weekly level? The same way that you experience things under the sun. The second word that it has there is it says to serve. The Hebrew word, this idea of kind of service, is worship. Just giving your life for something. Serving God with your life. I live for God. That's what kind of the deeper meaning of that is. And so, contrasting two ways of living. Do you live to experience and serve things in this world? Or do you live to experience and serve God? What does your time go towards? But the reality is, there's actually kind of a middle one. Most people in this world that are in church world kind of find themselves in this middle spot where you have what's a divided heart. Where, kind of right here, yeah. And I love God, and Fortnite, and, well, I mean, grades in school, and so you're trying to do this and have this situation where you're trying to hold on and give all of your heart to God, but also this over here, and you're wrestling constantly on the inside with where you're at. Leaning one, like right, you're at Connect Weekend, so you're leaning this way pretty heavily, but then next week's gonna happen, you're invited to that party, you're at your friend's house, you're sitting at the table, and suddenly you start leaning more this way. And this, and you're going, okay, I still wanna have a little bit of connection to God over here, but so often we find ourselves here in the middle, between the two, with a divided heart. And it plays out in several kind of different ways. Kind of the first one is that you look good on the outside. There's a lot of people in church world, you do all the things you're supposed to do. You don't do the big bad sins. You never robbed a bank or anything like that. You look pretty good on the outside. But there's still stuff kind of going on the inside that shouldn't be there. Maybe it's secret sins. Maybe it's you are a gossip. You talk bad about people when they're not there. Maybe it's that you'd be embarrassed if we saw the way that you talk to your parents, the way that you treat your younger siblings, things maybe going on with a boyfriend, a girlfriend, what you're doing on the internet late at night. On the outside, you look great, but there's stuff in your heart that's this. You do love God, but you also don't want to let go of something else. reminds me of this one time. I've only been skiing one time in my life, and it was a college ski trip 25 years ago, and we stayed at a place called the Silver Buckle Motel. Pulled up to it. On the outside, it looks great. You know, it's a snowy area, so it's like nice white snow, and then these big, gigantic trees, like lush green wood, and the exterior of the building was like this red wood, so it's just like nice rustic feel. It looked great on the outside, and the sidewalks were nice and clean. Like, this is awesome. Then we open our door, and we walk into the room, and all the dirt and gravel and mulch and stuff was in our room. Like, they grabbed a blower, and they just went, we want the outside to look great. And they blew it, and it went under the door into our room. So outside looks awesome, and then you walk inside, and it's like, there's literally dirt everywhere. Like, okay, whatever. We walk into the bathroom, and initially it looks really clean. And in fact, this place is so clean, on the toilet, there's a seal, a little piece of paper that they wrapped around the bowl, and it said, certified clean. That's how committed they were to this clean toilet. And then someone opened the toilet. There was a poo. There's a poo. Inside the toilet. It literally said certified clean on it. And you open it up, it was like, they didn't even flush. It's not even, it's literally floating, right? They didn't even flush. And then they went, certified clean. We're all good. Looks great on the outside. A poo floating on the inside. And I go, how many of us are kind of like that? You look good, you're going to all the right programs at church, but there's also stuff going on when people aren't watching. There's other things kind of going on inside your heart. You're in that middle seat. You do church sometimes, but in secret, you got other stuff going on. The other one is Jesus gets the leftovers. You love God when you have time. There's a lot of things out there. There's a Fortnite event coming up, and it overlaps with, I can't miss the Fortnite event. And you kind of go through the things in life that they're not inherently bad things. Like, we have so many Fortnite skins and everything like that. There's nothing wrong with playing a video game, but it shouldn't be the priority. And you go, what does your life bend around? What does your schedule adjust to line up with? Grades, sports, relationship, television, all these sorts of things, you can, video games, whatever it is, is that just a spice that's kind of fun in your free time? Or is that what defines your life? Obviously, grades are a good thing. But that shouldn't be what your whole world is built around. Getting into the perfect college, that's a great thing. But that shouldn't be your foundation, that everything in your life bends around it. You can figure out what you worship by going, follow the path of your time, money, emotions, and attention, and you'll find your idol. You'll find the thing that probably in your life has too much sway. And you'll find that thing where you're in that middle chair and you're trying to hold on to God, but you've got something else you're holding on to. The reason maybe you're struggling to fully connect with God is because your heart is with something else. Your heart is torn. It's divided between God and something else. And there's one more thing I want to just briefly talk about. One of the reasons sometimes it's tough to fully connect with God is because life is really hard. And in a room this size, there's probably a lot of people in here, and your thought is like, what direction am I going with my life? Which way am I going? I'm just trying to live. I'm just trying to make it through the day because it's hard. And whether it's divorce, abuse, a parent struggling with addiction, financial troubles, maybe some of you even had to get a job to help pay the bills, like fear of death over the last 5 years, just some of the crazy things that in your formative years you've had to deal with, bullying. Just go down the list of real stuff that's heavy. And when you're in the middle of that, sometimes you just have to process through that. Like for me, I grew up with an alcoholic father that had very successful at work, and then he would come home drunk out of his mind every night. And I didn't know it at the time, but I also grew up with, he was physically abusive at times. There was times that he hit my head against the wall. There was a time he hit me with a 2x4. And when I was growing up, I just thought they were funny stories because I didn't know any better. And then one time I was telling these stories in a church setting, thinking I was being funny, and I realized everyone else didn't hear a funny story. They heard a story of abuse, and I'd like rethink my whole childhood. And my parents got divorced when I was in the 6th grade. My mom was in a car accident when I was in the 11th grade and was in the hospital for 2 months. And when I was 20, my dad drank himself to death. And when you have lived in a world of pain and hurt, sometimes it's difficult to even focus in on the spiritual because you're just trying to make it through the day. And that's another reason that we're here, to build a community where you can process that with your peers and with your leaders. And while I talk about some of the things that were so hard for me, the reason I became so passionate about church is because while I had this very chaotic, painful childhood, I also was lucky enough to grow up in a church setting where I had people around me that cared about me. And when I was at an event like this between my 7th and 8th grade years, I was in a setting just like this and realized I knew a lot about God, but I didn't know God, and realized I needed to connect with God. And that's the reason why events like this happen, so that we learn how to connect with God and have a community to process everything going on and realize that we're sinners in need of a Savior. And realize some of the pain you feel in life is because of the sin of other people, and there's a God that loves you. And there's grace and forgiveness for what you've done, for what others have done, and there is hope. So kind of going back to this weekend, what it's all about. Where are you at in here? What are you living for? Are you living for the eternal? Or are you stuck living for the things of this world that do not satisfy? You've never won a football game and been like, I'm done. I don't need to win anymore. I'm satisfied. You win, and then you wonder if you can keep winning. You wonder if you can keep it up. It's a hamster wheel. Where are you at in all of this? There's one kind of final illustration on here. Is that, you know, a lamp only is useful when it's plugged in. If you unplug it, it's just a really awkward paperweight. It's meant to be connected to power, and suddenly it has a purpose, it has meaning, and it's useful. We're not meant to just be in this world under the sun. We're meant to be connected and plugged in to the eternal. That is what this weekend is all about. One final story I want to talk about. A couple weeks back, if you can put up the last picture I have in there. A couple weeks back, really 2 weeks to the day, I was at a funeral for this guy right here. His name's John. He was 43 years old. I went to high school with him, and we kind of stayed in touch because of the internet, and then we shared an interest in nerdy things, and so we ran into each other at, like, Comic Cons from time to time, including Bell County Comic Con, just down the road from here, and you know, he loved all comic book movies, but he was a big Power Rangers guy. You can even see him wearing a Power Rangers shirt there, and very suddenly he got sick. And he only had so much time. He only had 43 years on this earth. That's all the time that he had. And in many ways, it was a real tragic death because that's so young and it was so sudden and so many people loved him. But with the time that he had on this earth, he lived for the eternal. And so his funeral was person after person coming up talking about how he was a youth leader and how he had impacted their life for the eternal. Talking about how much he loved people because he loved God. And all of a sudden, while we were sad that we'd lost our friend, we were celebrating that he lived a life that was connected to God. And he lived a life serving other people so that they could love God. And while he only had 43 years, he did something that mattered forever. He had a cool collection of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers memorabilia going back 30 years. That's not what we didn't talk about all the fun things. That was what he did for fun. But he lived for Jesus. He served Jesus. His heart was with Jesus. And that's what we want for you this weekend. That you realize all the places where your heart is torn and that you let go and you commit your life fully to connecting with him. Let's pray. God, we know that you can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine according to your power that works mightily within us. And that's what we pray would happen this weekend, that people would realize that they've never put their faith in you, that people would realize those sins in their life or the idols in their life, that they would let go and grab hold of you. Throughout this weekend, our desire is that they would realize the futility of a life living for the things of this world without you, and that they would come rushing towards your open arms. Let this be a powerful week where you are made much of through the transforming of their hearts and the renewing of their minds. In your name we pray. Amen.